Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Jazz and Abel, that's our scene. Step into the party. Disrupt the whole scene, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Would you believe Luke Moore's here?
I like my sugar with coffee and cream.
And the man who knows how to play that sax, it's Pete Donaldson.
Good afternoon, good morons.
And all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. Now, if I was to say the name Jordan Morris to you, you'd say, my goodness, he's played for the United States 7 times, scoring 1 goal despite not actually being a professional footballer.
That's amazing.
It's impressive stuff.
There's a lot of England players that look like that sometimes.
You know, the United States aren't bad.
They're not they're better than us.
Yeah.
Us being the English.
Hamstrung by unprofessionals.
That's right. He's still at university, so he's only 21 years old.
Well, that was the big thing with the new FIFA game, where they could not use some of the female players because they were still in university, and that would have put their college sponsorships, their scholarships in peril.
More on FIFA later.
Yeah, that's the big story.
Yeah, that's the big FIFA news
this
week.
Big one.
Well, if you could pick someone who isn't a professional footballer to play for a national team, who would it be, Jimbo?
Well, I had a couple of ideas for this. I thought Blatter for Switzerland, but he's not allowed, is he? So.
not until 2023.
Yeah.
Well, like Zinedine Zidane, he's serving a ban.
Yeah.
The court for arbitration for sport notwithstanding.
I also thought maybe Donald Trump for the USA against Mexico in Mexico.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But, you know, I don't think that would be fair on the USA.
Or Donald Trump playing for some sort of exoplanet in a different solar system.
He'd have to build a really good defensive wall, wouldn't he? Because he's always going to know about that Mexican wall that he doesn't like.
That's true.
But, or that he likes a lot, rather.
Yeah. I've got a few minutes to think up another answer.
At least you're last. At least you're next.
Absolutely.
And I've already got one.
Good.
Well, what I will actually go for...
It's not even your answer.
No. Sorry, mate. I did it to Pete the other week. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a monster.
Thought stealer.
Yeah. The person I would really go for would be Benny Hill for England, because you may remember the pace on the man was just absolutely...
No one could catch him.
Just incredible. Yeah. No one could catch him. He was determined to chase a lost cause. We saw that
with the sexy nurses. He kept running around.
He could never catch those nurses, though, could he? So, the nurses, if anything.
Chase it. That is a relentless pressing game from Hill.
The Gegen press, the Sexton press. the milkman press.
Yeah.
The yew tree press.
Oh, yeah. He never gave up on lost calls, did he, Jim?
Absolutely.
He was all about the seconds.
He had a lot of the Jamie Vardy about him.
Yeah, Benny Hill for England.
Sex pests should not be encouraged.
Lovely. Plays the sexy football. Luke.
Yeah. I've gone for a man of this parish. Mr. Pete Donaldson. I would have Pete Donaldson.
Are you saying I'm not in football?
Is he going to have him play?
Not professional, are you?
Is he going to play?
Surely
for,
you know that.
Is he going to play for Japan?
No. Oh. Yeah, I'm going to tell you who he's going to play for next, but I'm first going to address a point of admin. You are not my man, a professional football player, whether you like it or not.
Oh, he had a bloody good go.
Now, good day, sir.
Yeah.
I said good day. I would take Pete playing for the micronation of Ladonia. In southern Sweden. This is a real country.
Having a little beer at half time, lovely.
Basically, a guy created some sculptures in like an isolated part of a nature reserve a few years ago. And they were very, very difficult to get to. And eventually the authorities found out about them in their local council in Sweden and said, ruled them as buildings and said, we're tearing those down.
Right.
They're not sculptures, they're buildings, we're tearing them down. Mm. So he said, well, fine, I'm declaring a micronation of Ladonia in this particular area.
Ladonia?
And I'm entitled to do it.
Come at me,
and
bro.
And since he's managed to... get 15,567 citizens, none of which live in Ladonia permanently, but have passports to the country, so they are technically citizens. There's only ever been one resident living there, and he's since moved away. Definitely get in the team.
Yeah.
So you should definitely
isn't
go for
like
it.
Isn't this like that Sealand?
Yeah, similar. Sealand is sort of like a disused military platform in the sea, but there's like 10 people living on that. Ladonia has no one living
there. Would the Ladonia national anthem be... they'd all be into it.
I'd be well up for that.
There you go. And that was going to be my final point. I know you would definitely be up for it.
So. I'd be up for staying.
He'd be an unused sub.
No,
that's harsh. He'd be Capella.
He would be King Lad.
I didn't steal your answer. Why are you going at me?
No, I'm only joking.
Just whirling around, hitting anyone who's close to you.
That's what I do.
You're like E-Honda.
I think you'd have a lovely time, and I think you'd be the king of the Ladonians.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Luke, for inducting me into the Ladonia Hall of Fame.
I did a bit of research into it earlier, as you can tell, and there is already a queen of Ladonia, and she's very attractive, so I'm sure you'd love being the king.
Lovely old job. Mm. I mean, I don't think you inherit
the lady. Actually, to be fair, the place is called Ladonia. So that's going to happen anyway.
That's probably the first thing that's going to happen.
I'll say what I said earlier. Check the constitution, mate. Yeah. Leave me out of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair dues.
Peter.
I would probably go for Paul Newman.
Okay. Okay, good.
I know he's dead, but...
No, don't worry about
Benny Hill's dead.
Benny Hill's dead, that's true.
I'm playing like Paul Newman, by the way.
Because Jesus Navas has got the most beautiful eyes in the world of football.
Some of, yeah.
And I would like... He's got two of them.
Two of, yeah.
Two of them, yeah. I would like a man to beat him on the eyes front, quite frankly, because there aren't enough beautiful eyes in football. We've got beautiful pecs, you've got beautiful legs, you've got beautiful muscles, but where are the peepers?
Yes. Wayne Rooney's got quite nice eyes.
Yeah, he has, but they're like two jewels in a... bin, aren't they?
two in a butcher's bin.
Yeah, just strips of flesh
with
two cubic zirconias, the way we call them.
Last time you called them two sapphires in a potato, didn't you, or something like that?
Have I talked about these beautiful eyes before?
Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So you're going for Paul Newman.
I'm going for Paul Newman.
It should be said that Wayne Reid does have very, very nice eyes. You have to, listen, if you're going to stick the boot on him, which I fully intend to do later, credit where it's due.
Credit where it's due, in the eyes.
Cornially impressive.
Yes, that's right. That is absolutely right. Any team, now for my answer, any team needs a man who, you know, first man on the team sheet. If he's available, you put him on your first name in there.
You can mould
everything around this man because he is really the centre of attention. He's that good. So it'd be Jeff Goldblum.
Callback. It's a callback, Jim.
Who's he playing for?
Being the B team, isn't he?
He's playing for all of the teams.
They're playing for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Because everyone wants a piece of that man. Now, who's got the points? I think Luke has, because he said Pete.
It's a lot of research.
And I had a lot of research, and I like that.
Yeah.
So in a way, you've helped Luke get the points. That's your first assist,
I think.
You're in the record books.
Yeah.
Is this because I stole yours?
You're like
just leaving me out.
Donald Trump's not winning anything.
Thank you,
Luke.
Do you know what? Before the Premier League, let's go to the FIFA house.
It's not a bazaar.
This is FIFA house.
Yeah. He's been banned.
It's happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. We got them.
Surely he got him because he set up the bloody thing.
Yeah, he's absolutely stitched himself up.
Incredibly amateurish, isn't it? Given how much he appears to have gotten away with for so long.
Yeah. Do you know what? I did think about that, Jim, to remove kind of morality for a brief moment from this. If Sepp had quit as FIFA president in, I think it was 06 and 2011 that he said that he may have done that, he'd probably be okay.
This is what is interesting to me. So in all this affair, the thing that's interesting to me on a human level is the way that human beings invariably are just completely addicted to power.
So human beings.
You could say to Sepp Blatter fairly easily, a layman, any of us could say, you know, the fine he's been given is paltry. It's like £40,000 or something like that, right? Mm. He's clearly a very wealthy man. You've been banned from football for 8 years. It's tempting just to say, well, so what?
Yeah.
You've done so much. You've had so much good times. Go away. Enjoy your life. You're 79 years old.
Yeah.
Enjoy your money. Enjoy your wealth and all that other stuff and do whatever you want to do for the rest of your days. But he can't. And he can't because he's addicted to the power that job has afforded him for the last however many years.
It's his whole identity, isn't it? He doesn't have anything outside of it.
He identifies with it absolutely, 100%.
The way he talks about FIFA, and journalists have written about this, it's like he talks about a bride, his wife, his FIFA, you know. But you're right, you see films where you see certain characters, all they want is their name in the history books. They want to be remembered for hundreds of years.
Like legacy, that one Tim Roth was in a little while ago.
United Passions.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was genuinely thinking of a decent Tim Roth film.
It's been a while.
I didn't see it in protest.
But I did. It's terrible.
Yeah, good. You did it on behalf of us, and we appreciate that greatly. But that is it, isn't it? That Sepp Blatter, we would say he's after that Nobel Peace Prize and so on and so forth. But it is quite something. I mean, the thing is with Blatter, to actually play devil's advocate around the world, he's not seen like what a lot of the West see him as. In Africa, he's seen, and understandably so, as a guy who brought them a lot of football and a lot of funding. Now, of course, that funding was ended up in the wrong places and so on and so forth. But actually, you know, David Conn wrote an excellent article about this, and Andrew Jennings wrote very well about it in Foul, that book about FIFA.
So that piece of trash.
Yeah, exactly. White trash, I think it was called. Yeah. But the former FIFA president before Joao Havelange, when it all started to change, was Sir Stanley Rails, an Englishman. Yeah. But he was a bit of a colonialist, really.
Of course.
And gave Africa nothing.
It was a very long time ago.
It was an awful long time. It was 74, I think, it changed hands, or certainly in the 70s.
It was 74, I think. Yeah,
and Havelange came in and promised, you know, with the help of what's his name? Dassler, the guy, one of the Adidas.
It's Horst Dassler, wasn't it?
Horst Dassler,
yeah, the other brother. Yeah.
And so they started to revolutionise the game and take it everywhere. But of course, they got support from the other places because they were getting a bit of love what they hadn't before. But there would have been big amounts of money and dodgy dealings.
But to bring it back to the present day, Marcus, I was enjoying memory lane, but you know, if we're going to talk about corruption in FIFA, we only got about an hour. I do apologise.
Sorry, yeah.
The staggering thing about it is the arrogance of it, right? So clearly that payment has been made and it wasn't properly legislated for and it wasn't invoiced or the paper trail wasn't there. But the arrogance of it is that Blatter is clearly thinking, to my mind, he's clearly thinking, well, I generally sort of do what I want.
Yep.
The ethics committee I essentially appointed, mm-hmm. they're never going to find against me.
He but said they're not listening to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
But the key thing is that when I happen to think, from what I've read behind the scenes, the FBI are applying a lot of pressure, both to the Swiss government and FIFA generally, to say, look, my impression of it is, just pin something on him.
Well, I just
you can choose whatever you want.
It's Al Capone's
TV rights,
return.
Image rights,
car parking phones,
anything. Pin something on
but
this
I
guy.
I just think it's FIFA insulating themselves. You know what I mean? If they get rid of him,
like a fall guy, basically.
They won't be. They can carry on pretty much. This isn't just.
No, but a lot of people have fallen. Though.
This isn't not enough. Clearly, I mean, it's only the main two that everyone's gone up in arms about.
This is before the FBI even bring anything in.
Well, that's what I mean. But they're going to go softer than the. If he was still at the helm, and the only hope is that Sepp goes down swinging and starts whirling around like you did earlier on in the opening question, Marcus.
did you see his mad post verdict press conference?
He looks like I personally don't take any pleasure from seeing an elderly man. Looks like he's not slept for months and in a terrible state and all this other stuff. He's like a strange combination of old, doddery old man and sort of an adolescent man child. I don't take any
he's
pleasure
very sharp, though,
the state he looks like today and clearly in a lot of trouble both emotionally and it looks like physically. But the other side of it is, you know, he's got to ultimately pay for the crimes he's committed and that's right and proper.
But the thing is, he's not accepting any culpability.
He isn't. That's
absolutely astounding about it. It's the arrogance of it is that he's just insisting that all these things are nonsense. And even, you know, the ethics committee he set up himself have the power to do the things they're doing. And he's now claiming that they don't. And he actually booked that room as a private citizen, apparently, and held a press conference in there. And he brought his own ball. He brought an Adidas ball to stick in front of himself.
It's actually quite tragic in a way.
Official. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns goes completely mad in his casino.
It's the same sort of thing.
The Spruce Moose.
With all the German.
Right.
But he's got the disposition of a dictator of a small nation, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he really can't understand why this is going on because, again, just to kind of end there, pick up, not completely, but where I left off, but you know, when Blatter took over, he then took the game around the world, and the game is a more globalised game now, and that has been, you know, a lot of benefits have happened to football under Blatter's watch. It's not all been bad. It's true.
And everyone's danced to his tune. Everyone's danced to his kind of slightly moody, grey financial politics. The FA is not blameless. They went as far as they could in English law when it comes to romancing other FAs around the world.
When Panorama aired that documentary into corruption FIFA, they came out and said this is anti-British.
Yeah. Yeah. And look at how much of it. Remember, it was on the eve of the vote, wasn't it? Mm. And everyone was up in arms about, you've spoilt the World Cup's
We've
not going to
no
go to England
now.
We've got no chance now.
Andrew Jennings should really, for the work he's done over these years, he should be given something in the honours list, should he not?
Yeah. Amazing achievement.
He won't, though, will he?
No,
imagine him. But he should.
Yeah, he'd throw it in the Thames. He would.
Well,
you know what he would. You
give
know
him the option of throwing it.
Give him a chance to reject it. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. But he won't be because of these aforementioned reasons.
The other thing on the Platini side of it as well is that.
He didn't.
Clearly, like, Platini is going to miss out on one of the things he was reportedly most looking forward to in his whole post retirement career, which is watching the Euros in France
in his own country,
and he's not going to be able to do that now.
He won the Euros in his own country, and he was meant to organise it and sit back and watch
bring
the whole
it
thing.
Home. Really.
Exactly, exactly.
He was part of the committee for 1998 as well, though.
Okay,
but still. I think he
wasn't the head of UEFA.
He was. I think he was probably planning on.
Was he the head of UEFA?
Overseeing. He was part of the bid committee.
Yeah, okay, right.
But he was clearly planning on sitting there as the head of FIFA.
Yeah, of course.
When the Euros are playing in France and sort of lording over his own domain. And all that stuff, and now he's going to be court of arbitration for sport notwithstanding. But that appeal's not going to be heard and sorted by next summer. He's not going to be able to go anywhere near it.
Him and Blatter, it's like Blair and Brown. You know the way they came in together and all the rest of it and ran the whole show and then turned on each other and started trying to stab each other.
What's really interesting about it is that as we touched on earlier, this oddly sort of pathetic defence of what that payment is. Just so no convincing explanation for what it.
Well, that's why they've been done
at all. What's happened is Qatar. Was so ridiculous, like so over the top ridiculous. Blatter wasn't in favourite, as we know. Yep. I think it's because he was only not in favourite
because he didn't want Platini to be so powerful.
Yeah, but also I think part of it was like, we'd not get away with this. It's too
US,
too much.
Sorry, US then China.
But basically, they got away with what they did for so long because they were in a position where they could self-govern. Yeah. So it didn't matter how stupid it was, but they overshot to the point where people from outside have come in.
Isn't Blatter's main argument is that under Swiss law, a verbal agreement is enough for that amount of
people? But that only lasts for 5 years.
Yeah, this is
so
the, this
by
is the
his
thing,
own defence, that's the thing just
I,
wrong.
I can't understand. Why did it take 8 or 9 years for him to invoice it?
Because they clearly just wanted to find... Because he, as far as we can make out...
But it's that invoice that's done them.
No, but yeah, absolutely. The only reason they've started to talk about making some sort of paper trail arrangement to it is because I know they're getting investigated for it. But you're right about Platini and Blatter being in cahoots because... But essentially, Platini helped Blatter see off Lennart Johansson for FIFA presidency.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then, in return, Blatter helped Platini topple Johansson for UEFA presidency.
And Johansson was meant to be a decent leader.
Well, I'm not sure.
Who knows, but that's essentially what happened.
Yeah,
so it's easy in hindsight to say.
Either way, we all enjoyed Blatter's Nelly-style plaster.
Yes, we did.
We certainly did.
Nelly, in many ways, he used to wear it so that his friend City Spud used to watch him from jail. Yeah. So I'm just thinking the Blatter's just trying to butter up the homeboys in lockdown. Because the first rule of prison is you get in the prison mess hall and you give $2 million to the biggest guy.
You shake the biggest guy on the chow line.
Yeah, all that.
Everyone knows you mean business.
Yeah, it may not go to those kind of prisons.
No, maybe not.
I'll tell you,
prison. FIFA prison.
Yeah. Build his
they
own prison.
FIFA jails.
Like
built
that one in Narcos.
Yeah. built one at FIFA House, especially for it.
But I think it all leads back to the point that we said at the start, you know, if he quit in 2006 after that World Cup, or even after Africa, quit while you're ahead, you go away, and as you say, Luke, his reputation would be fine, but he stayed too long at the fair.
And that always happens. The fallibility.
And the FBI shut down the fair.
The fallibility of humans. Like the guy who stole £1 million by cheating on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Absolutely.
If he had just gone for $500,000, no one would have said a damn thing.
That's right. That's
flew
absolutely
too close
right.
to the sun.
He certainly did. And just to finish, it must be pretty horrible for people who are a little bit older seeing Michel Platini, one of football's greats. It would be the equivalent of us seeing Zidane in 20 years' time.
Which possibly could happen.
But I think the narrative is such, because Platini was such a celebrated player and in the consciousness of the modern human, and, you know, Blatter was just an old... He looks like an old fat man now, and he used to be a decent goalkeeper. And where was he? Switzerland? He played in.
I don't think he ever played at any level. But
no. Well, either way, I think the narrative is very different because he's a little bit more sprightly, and you remember his.
I think people want to give Platini more of a chance because they remember the player. Mm. But someone wrote
but
a really good piece.
It, though.
Someone wrote a really good piece on it. I read today. I forget where it was now, actually, but they said that, you know, Platini's always used to playing by his own rules, because he is such a great player, such a gifted player. Mm-hmm. Sort of do what he wanted.
Surrounded by yes men.
And there's probably that to it as well. But Jose Mourinho's out of a job. He could step in there. Do an admin job.
Yeah, he could do. An admin job.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, let's move on to the Premier League then, shall we?
The Chelsea players have already forgotten. It took 3 minutes. 3 minutes to forget
back to normal. Business as usual. Yeah.
Indeed. You know what, actually? We're going to go to the Premier League after this.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin. And when I'm not banging my cube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
The Football Ramble.
I mean, I like we did a big talk about FIFA corruption. We will be mentioning the Football Ramble Christmas special at the end. Do buy that. It's £2 million.
Of gold.
Of all your
worth
finest,
every penny.
Of all your gold. Chelsea, they won 3-1 against Sunderland. Goose Hiddink watched on. The Chelsea fans let their feelings be known.
This, for me, was one of, if not the most fascinating situation of the season, where the Chelsea were performing, probably the... I mean, they've had one or two decent results, but probably certainly in the top three performances of the season.
It was much better.
Domestically. Yet, the fans were...
Like 2-0 up after like 20
unhappy.
Minutes or something.
Yeah. It was astounding, wasn't it?
I actually give the fans a bit of credit there because...
They never get any other time.
But we've, you know, been a bit harsh on Chelsea fans before.
We've given them credit for supporting Mourinho.
But we have.
Their manager.
But they've carried on with that. And actually, if they believe that what they're seeing on the pitch there is players who are suddenly caring because the manager's gone. They think, like we said on the preview show last week, was it, or the week before, if suddenly Mourinho goes, oh, now you try, do you? Well, why don't you play for the shirt, play for yourself and play for us?
Well, I wonder if that's the reaction is maybe not a little too far the other way, like with the bed sheets, with like, was it three rats cost of Fabregas and Hazard? I don't know, that's a bit...
I'm not talking about the details. Why is everyone blaming Fabregas? He's just having a terrible season.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
And he's always back Mourinho.
But Marcus's point is a sound one, which is essentially that. There is more than one reason you play as a professional footballer. Mm. You don't just go, oh, well, I don't like the manager, so that's that. It's not about that, and it shouldn't be about that. And the difference in performance, and not only the difference in performance, but from what I saw, and I didn't see the whole game, but from what I saw, the difference in work rate was actually a bit shameful.
Mm. Yeah.
Because... And Chelsea fans are right to stick to their guns. Obviously, Mourinho's not coming back. But I think you should support your team. I've always said that, and we've always said in this show, you have the right to boo your team if you pay to buy a ticket and sit in the stadium. But you should also acknowledge that it's not going to help your team. And if you make a conscious decision to do that, it's up to you. But I applaud them for sticking to their guns to an extent. And the players should take the lion's share of the blame for that, because I think that was actually quite shameful the way they reacted.
Terry said
yeah,
that.
I think it's absolutely a point on the work rate. But I think what is quite interesting is they just looked a bit more creative. And
a bit
I wonder
more fluid,
if part
yeah.
of the problem under Mourinho was that he likes to have very creative players that he then makes play in a very sort of stifled, narrow way so that they've got that X factor if
but
they
it
need something
last
special.
Oh, come on. I don't know that's a point.
No, but I mean, look at Oscar. It was a great example. He had a very free game. He played brilliantly. And I think if you are one of those players, if you're a player like Oscar or whoever, and you know, you're used to playing a sort of creative type of football, you feel that's your best football. If you're being forced to not play like that, Hazard's another point, you would probably get frustrated and think, hang on, am I missing the best years of my career here? And I'm not excusing it for a moment, because it's an absolute disgrace, the lack of effort they've put in. But I wonder if that was part of the thinking behind the players.
Well, as Luke said, last season they did put in some good performances.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, as we've seen with Mourinho, though, his style does wear players down after a while.
He clearly, as they say, lost the dressing room. I don't know whether that was to do with tactics or whether to do with Canero,
but
whether to
even
do
if that's
he
the
wasn't
case,
talking
Marcus.
To some
it was
players.
Too many things at once, I think. Wasn't
there was a lack of communication. I'd heard that communications had broken down between him and some of the players.
But I still, I accept that, but I still think they should have had enough.
Certain they shouldn't be getting beat up.
Yeah, better than this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Of course they shouldn't. But this is the trouble for a board of a football club. They look at the situation and go, well, we can't sack all the players. What do you do? Here's a man. And I think, actually, to be fair to Abramovich and the board, they've given Mourinho time. They've given him time to try and rectify that. It's clearly not happened. And they sort of think...
I feel sorry for Big Sam.
I always feel sorry for Big Sam.
Sunderland would
have got 3 points. He was looking forward to 3 points.
Yeah. Fire him on Monday.
At least Marina can have a Christmas. Yeah. It'd be a sickener if he got sacked in...
on Boxing Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, crying out loud. It is a fascinating one. I mean, Hiddink's going to come in and you know...
But the players played like there was a weight removed from their shoulders and I wouldn't be surprised if they went on a bit of a run now, because Hiddink, as we said last week...
Is the fun over?
For
I think it might be. Yeah.
I think so.
We said on Friday, didn't we, that Chelsea have got a very, very good record under interim managers. It has seemed to happen an awful lot, and most of them walk away with a trophy. So I'm not saying that Chelsea will get a trophy this season, because realistically, what is it? The FA Cup's probably the only one open to them.
No, they've had a huge, huge boost to their Champions League chances, because if you look at the Premier League table, Spurs are sitting fourth.
That's true, actually.
Yeah,
yeah, that is true. It's, what do you reckon? It's in the stars that they're going to win it.
It could be. Yeah, it's a sign.
It could well be. I thought that, you know, Mourinho obviously losing his job, and Benitez coming under fire. Little swapsies.
Yeah, maybe.
Once again.
I mean, it's a long season.
It is.
Could yet happen.
It is going to... Well, yeah. I think Chelsea, the chat is that they may be looking at Simeone for the summer.
It'll be an exciting one. A similarly exciting appointment.
It's a similar type of manager to Mourinho,
sure. To me, that is... Of all the managers we've heard talk... I mean, I think Ancelotti's agreed to go to Bayern Munich now, hasn't he, anyway? Mm. But all the managers I've seen linked with Chelsea, I think Simeone, for me, feels like the most natural fit.
It would, but he's a similar type of...
It's a personality appointment, isn't it, really, rather than a tactical one.
But he plays similar stuff to Mourinho.
He's won a lot with Atletico, which is tough in that, you know, in that supposed duopoly.
But he seems to fit them, I think. Mm. I think he fits them more than someone like Guardiola does.
Which, like you said last week, like, Pep Guardiola is less of a fit for the Premier League because it's not as tactical a league.
I think that would be fascinating with Guardiola in there. Mm. Because I think what I said was that he is probably the most tactical of the top managers, and the Premier League is the least tactical league.
Especially this year, the passing game out of the window. This is not a Pep Guardiola league right now.
Anyone wants to tell
it's
me what
4-4-2 counter attack?
Well, if Guardiola, I mean, he loves to find space, as we saw his Barcelona sides used to do, where they would like a boar constrictor. People would liken them to just gently looking at the defence, and the defence have a little gap there. They're there.
Yeah, you're in there.
And it's just like, and the more, you know, with the boar constrictor, the more you breathe in and out, the more it suffocates you. It's horrible way that they operate. And so if Guardiola came to the Premier League, you know, as it was pointed out recently, that in the other leagues, the other top leagues, it's a battle to find space. You need to look for it. Whereas the Premier League, it just sort of appears here and there. Yeah. And you've got to have the fitness and the quickness to get in the space
look,
when it's there.
Look who's top of the league.
Well, there you are.
Yeah, it's absolutely right.
The Tinker Man.
The Space Invaders.
Well, there is something that... I mean, Gary Lineker tweeted, the more football I watch, and I watch a lot, the more I think the importance we give to managers / coaches is a myth. It's all about players. Whereas actually, a journalist mate of mine, Kristen Hennage, was saying on the radio recently that what Leicester and Watford have done, they've invested more in a manager rather than the players. Because if that manager can spot the space and have a little shuffle of the pack and tactics, all you need to do is get those players. You've got to get that message to the players. You've got to have a happy camp, which clearly it is at Leicester and Watford. And those players, maybe you don't need top draw players, but you have a decent squad rather than a spectacular squad.
But that tweet from Gary Lineker does remind me of something I would say on this ramble, sort of going, I've forgotten everything that's happened in football before this season. This is the best goal I've ever seen ever.
Yeah, I mean, he may be on success and crisps.
I very much value those contributions.
True. Lineker might be being sarcastic. I used it as a launch pad into what I was going to say. Thank you very much, Gary.
If he is being serious, I don't agree with him.
But it's lovely to see him so happy.
It is. Yeah. It really is. Five of the top eight teams in the Premier League are from London. Chelsea letting the capital down, of course. Two are from Manchester, but the one on top of the pack is from Little Leicester. Top of the league at Christmas. Mm. Doesn't matter what happens tonight with Arsenal Manchester City.
Yeah. Relentless.
It is.
They could be 4 points top. If Arsenal City draw tonight, I think they could be top by 4 points.
I mean, Christmas. It is extraordinary.
Talk to the keister.
I shall. They beat Chelsea, obviously. They've beaten Everton away 3-2.
What did we say on this show? They've got four tough games coming up. They go to Anfield on Boxing Day.
Yeah, that could be. That has Premier League classic written all over it.
I think they'll win it.
Are they going to lose it 4-3?
It feels like it's going to be one of those games, doesn't it? And that's the thing for Leicester. What does happen when they lose? Can they bounce back? What we've seen in individual games, they're not affected at all if they concede. Can they carry that over?
I agree. That's the one question mark over them is the bounce back ability factor to quite.
They've shown everything so far.
But they have. It's brilliant.
They've scored in every game this season. Which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
I think Mahrez and Vardy level on goals now. It's like 15 each.
If they score a goal in every game for the rest of the season, they should get some sort of award anyway.
Mahrez and Vardy have to be. It has to be Football Writers or players of the year so far. If it continues. Okazaki, though, he's getting involved. They're like the Messi, Suarez and Neymar of the Premier League, aren't they? They're absolutely magnificent. And they're all playing for each other.
And the great thing about it is, and it touches on something we mentioned a week or two ago about Manchester City, about all those players desiring to get in that team. Because what happens is, when Man City lose a player or two, it seems to me that they've got weak links in there, and those players aren't using that as a shop window to say, look, pick me every week.
Yeah.
But Leicester is absolutely the opposite. Okazaki knows, I've got to work really hard to get in this team.
And you've got Ajoa there as well?
Yeah, but Okazaki particularly came in fairly recently with a decent reputation. He's an international footballer as well. He wants to get in that team. Mm. But he can't have any complaints about not being in there at the moment, which means he's heavily motivated when he does get a chance to score, and he is scoring. He's doing okay.
But you would imagine Ranieri's, again, dealing with that situation fairly well. It was like it's such a the Pellegrinis. Mm. You know, Diego Forlan said about Pellegrini, I would go into a meeting with him to ask him why he wasn't playing me for a particular match. 15 minutes later, I'd come out agreeing with his decision and happy. You know, and you would imagine Ranieri is the type of manager that can do that.
The thing I love about Leicester more than anything else is they will trade with you. In terms of a boxer, in boxing you get a boxer and a fighter. They're just like a fighter. They'll trade with you. In the middle of the ring, they'll stand, punch you, take a punch you back, take a punch.
And then they win.
At the moment it's working.
What I would say though is, sadly in sport, that kind of style, it may win you a title once in a blue moon.
They only need one
title, didn't they? And they do, and we certainly hope, as I'm sure most neutrals do, that they can get there. But that style, it does have, there is an end of the road
for
that.
Happen any season, it will happen this season. This season's been crazy.
Every player in that team, Luke is talking about competitiveness for every single place on that field. They're all playing for however many matches they got to play every season to get that winner's medal.
I think Robert Huth was out at the weekend, and they were talking about how he's going to be a big miss. He's going to be a big miss in the defensive unit. Mm-hmm.
Because Huth's out, we will concede a couple. Yeah. So we will need at least three. Yeah, right, good.
But I think I tried to look this up and I couldn't find anything to say that Gökhan İnler is injured.
He's not getting the team.
But that's astounding.
He certainly played in the game against Hull in the League Cup, which they went out on penalties. They drew 1-1. He played in that game, but he can't get in the team.
Is it fair to say you can't get İnler in the team?
No. Yeah, you could say that whatever you want.
Would be accurate. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. He wasn't the only away win in the Premier League, because Norwich City went to Old Trafford and won 2-1. I mean, my goodness. Nice goal from Jerome to get things
going.
Yeah,
it was. He really powered that through. He's a funny one, Jerome, isn't he? He's one of those guys where you think, is he really good enough for the Premier League?
I'm really
sometimes
pleased.
He looks like he is, and sometimes he looks a bit off the pace. But he just would... There was no way in hell he wasn't scoring.
That's
that.
Right.
There were like four defenders around him. He was like, no, this is my turn.
I'm pleased for him to get a goal at Old Trafford.
Yeah. I'm happy for him to receive credit for what you guys have said, but I do need to say that the defending in that goal was
how soft.
My goodness.
A team who've got such... Actually, that's the one area of the pitch they've been pretty decent this season, is in the back.
It was ticking all the boxes for how not to defend. It was like missed time tackles at stupid moments, positionally poor, turning the wrong way. The goalkeeper then makes an error. I mean, there was probably about four, possibly five chances to stop that being a goal. It didn't happen.
But I think, to be fair to Jerome, he powered through them all. He was very pacey, very strong, and he made himself a nuisance, and he forced those mistakes from them.
But to play devil's advocate, being strong and determined should not be enough to get you a goal on time.
But he made that work to his advantage, and credit to him is what I'm saying.
Otherwise, The Rock would score like 30 goals a season.
But first 20 minutes, Man United were absolutely pelting them, but they just soaked up the pressure and then hit them on the break twice.
Yeah. And I think the second goal as well.
A tetty toe pun.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the build-up to that goal with the Rooney mistake, but the Rooney Carrick sort of coming. Was it Rooney and Carrick or Rooney and Fellaini coming
Can't
together?
Remember.
Two of them certainly came together anyway. And it involved Rooney.
Easy to get Rooney and Fellaini mixed up.
Surprisingly. Yeah, but Rooney was definitely involved.
Did he have beautiful eyes?
I couldn't see from the distance.
Okay.
He lost the ball, Rooney. Bearing in mind, he's the club captain.
Yeah.
Right, he lost the ball, and there was a good amount of time between that and the ball hitting the back of the net, and Rooney just stood in the centre circle.
Do you remember when Rooney used to get really angry and run after him and commit a horrible foul?
I prefer
doesn't
that.
Even, doesn't maybe even do that.
Maybe it's tactical, though. Maybe that's where Van Gaal wants him.
But there's no tactics about being the club captain and not working hard to try and win the ball back after you've lost it. Marcus, am I right in saying that is like the goal? When you're under nines, right,
you lose the ball. You know I agree with you.
Yeah, Marcus, if you're at the under nines, what's that all about, mate?
I'm shouting, track back!
Yeah.
Stop punching! Yeah.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
If Wayne Rooney tracks back, busts a gut to bring him down and takes a yellow, they draw that game 1-1. That's what you need to say.
Maybe.
They do draw that game 1-1.
Just throw your shoe at him.
Yeah. They would have opened up somewhere else. But
I don't think Rooney should be anywhere near that.
We've seen a little chink in Van Gaal's armour, though, haven't we? He admitted that his job could be on the line.
Well, what's really interesting is that
Mourinho waiting in the wings.
Such a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
But he's only been out of a job for a couple of days, and suddenly Van Gaal's under loads of pressure.
He wanted that one. He took the Chelsea job because that one went to Moyes.
That's what happened with Rodgers. It happens in football all the time. As soon as they realised they could sound out Klopp, I know Klopp was out of a job anyway, but as soon as they got a little figure that Klopp was interested, he's gone.
But Van Gaal, there's been talk of this for a while.
But can you imagine how much money Van Gaal will take home? Like, he's not even that long into the job. Good God.
I'll take your point,
He'll
Marcus.
Just spend it on underperforming players, though.
To hang out with him. Yeah, so he can bully them.
That cleaner's useless. What am I either?
you've got to admit, though, if they're thinking about or wondering about whether to fire Van Gaal or not, and then they know they can get Mourinho easily, that is going to affect the decision.
Mm. Absolutely.
If Mourinho's a manager they admire, which, by the way, I'm not completely convinced he is, but say he is, then that's going to affect the decision.
It's a bit of a mess, isn't it? Because Chelsea obviously wanted Mourinho there for a good few years, like we talked about, especially on the preview show. Manchester United want Van Gaal there for the 3 years. I think it's a three-year contract. He's, a year and a half into it.
Yeah.
And so he can bring through Ryan Giggs, and maybe they have an option to promote within when Van Gaal was to leave. Mm. But, you know, Chelsea, that's all gone to pot. And Manchester United, it looks like that they may have a bit of a messy situation on their hands.
Yeah.
The difference is Manchester United are very much in the mix still.
Mm. Yeah. I also wonder, does Guardiola play a factor? We don't know where he's going yet.
Well, is it Rummenigge, the Bayern, not CEO, or one of the big boys? Bayern, former player, of course, he says that he thinks Guardiola knows where his next club's going to be.
Mm.
Now, if that's the case, you'd be surprised if it was Chelsea. Going on that alone, you'd be surprised if it was Chelsea. Yeah. You'd be surprised if it was Manchester United. Mm. It would leave Manchester City.
Well, he's got links with
it. Yeah, it's all set up for him at Manchester City, isn't it? And also, if you look at the main problem with Manchester United from the fans' perspective is it's not effectively that they are in the chasing pack. They're doing a lot better than they were last season, but they're not playing very attractive football. Now, that's the same criticism that's been levelled at Mourinho at Chelsea.
Yeah.
But the difference
really is rigid, sort of just really just nick a goal in, nick a goal out football.
But the difference is they're getting poor results now. Mm. You can just about say, no, we're better off than we were last season. You know, we're still in third, second, whatever it may be. They're out the Champions League and they had a reasonably straightforward group as things go. And now they've just been beaten at home to Norwich, having been beaten by Bournemouth the other week as well.
Are Man United not a little bit of a victim of circumstance as well, in a way that they have a fairly outdated philosophy around management compared to how the game works these days? Because people will say Mourinho doesn't fit. Now, there's a number of reasons Mourinho doesn't fit, and I agree with most of them. But actually, other than the fact that he sort of brings young players through on quite well and he's a good manager, Guardiola doesn't really fit either. He doesn't stick around anywhere long.
Well, that's it.
And United want a legacy. Well, they're not going to get one here.
Few managers do now. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's outdated.
It seems to be like quite heavy on the old personality, because Guardiola, everybody at Bayern will hold their hands up and say, this guy tactically is a genius. He is like nothing we've seen before. Mm. But he falls out with everybody at Bayern. Mm. Apparently they all find him a bit funny and he's a bit unpopular and so on and so forth, which is why they'll love having Ancelotti there. Mm. Ancelotti's a decent manager. Okay, he's not, you know, Guardiola's probably in a little league of his own.
Look at the eyebrow.
But the eyebrow's there.
Yeah.
You've got the eyebrow. Mm, you've got some...
Straight away, you got him by the Jaffers.
Exactly. He's very much, he pops the cork, come on in. We'll talk tactics and you're going to have a lovely time and you're going to learn.
And he's not going to wear a cardigan with a suit jacket.
And he's not going to be wearing the shoes.
he's not going to have a...
We've done Partridge in the office. What next? Come on. Where next? Come on. Bust stop.
Speaking of like really awkward, difficult comedies to watch, what about Watford, Liverpool?
Watford, man, they're so good, aren't they? 3-0, 3-0.
Did you think that Klopp thought that he was still managing Dortmund?
I've no idea.
Because it's the right colour, isn't it? Yellow and black.
I would very much like to see a situation, not necessarily with Liverpool per se for any reason, but a situation where Klopp, who's clearly a very, very popular man.
Yes.
But doing it. Imagine if he was so popular, everyone loved him, because they do still love him, and rightly so, because he's fairly new and he's a likeable character. But imagine if he was just doing like an absolute terrible job. He wouldn't know what to do.
No.
Right. We really love Jurgen Klopp, but we're like second from bottom of the Premier League. and it's March.
He's doing the ring and roses in the centre circle. It's perfect. He's uniting the cop.
Because there was absolutely no excuse for.
Bogdan?
The defensive display, for me, it was a textbook example of a defensive unit not having any confidence in the goalkeeper, right? And I understand why that occurs. But, Watford could have scored another couple. Imagine if Liverpool lost 5-0 to Watford. They were promoted last season.
They got beaten 3-0.
Yeah,
you know,
bad enough.
Yeah. It is bad enough.
At least just watch the Igalo scoop finds, for crying out loud. He does that every match.
There's a bit of reason.
On his backside immediately.
Yeah.
The best attacking players in the Premier League are Mahrez and Vardy and Deeney and Igalo at the moment. Vardy and Deeney up front for England in the Euros? No one would be able to deal with it.
The thing with that is they sort of fulfil the same role in the duo, though, don't they?
Yeah. So
yet another reason, combination of players will work for England.
Yeah, that's right. Don't matter who it is.
If both those teams had all English players, it's still amazing.
The Lampard Gerrard again.
Round hole.
Yeah, I did like at half time in the Watford game that the stadium announcer said to the crowd that as things stand, we're 1 point off the Champions League.
Great stuff.
At half time.
Love it.
At half-time against a club like Liverpool.
We'll close this one out, no problem.
But the results were so kind to Liverpool. 3 points would have done them a world of good. They just did not grab hold of that opportunity at all.
The Premier League's going to be won with about 52 points this season.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Firmino, what is that man now?
I tell you who deserves it.
What is that man?
He made a shift against Man City, and that's him.
If you're dishing out criticism for Liverpool players...
False Don Firmino.
The people you've got to put ahead of Firmino are... Obviously, Adam Bogdan, which is unfortunate. Mm. I would have Simon Mignolet's surgically removed hamstring on its own in the Liverpool kit over him. And I don't particularly rate Mignolet, by the way.
Yeah. Maybe just a kit pegged to the neck.
That would probably be more effective. I think, though, if you're going to dish out criticism for forward play, Benteke. Benteke looks like a shadow of a man.
Klopp doesn't like him, and I think it's just his head's dropped, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit. But I mean, Firmino comes off for Benteke. It's like, how bad has Benteke got to be in Klopp's eyes not to play him over him?
I think he's getting to be about as bad as he can be.
Well, Benteke's a funny one like that, though. He was absolutely explosive when he started for Villa. Then he was terrible for ages. Then he picked up again and was really explosive again. Then he moved to Villa. Well, so he's got that side in him where he does just drop off for long, long periods of time.
time.
I think people do forget that he has been a bit sort of inconsistent.
Well, he moved to Villa twice a continent gym just then.
I'll tell you something now. Liverpool.
No, sorry, I meant towards the end of his time.
Oh, right, sorry.
Leicester are going to score probably, if Liverpool play half as bad as they played against Watford at the back, Leicester are going to score between 19 and 21 goals. So Liverpool need to score 22 goals to win that game on Boxing Day. I'll tell you now.
It's going to be fun.
That's lovely, that is. We're going to have to move on for the Premier League, although there's a lot more to talk about. Good away win for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
They've picked up 11 points from a possible 15 and are unbeaten in five, so they're going great.
James McLean described Jurgen Klopp as a bit of an idiot last week, didn't he? Which is...
Yeah.
Strong.
Seems to be true of himself as
yeah,
well,
he was
based
a complete
on
that game. in that game. Oh, we could mention Harry Kane's goal for Spurs. What a lovely one that was.
Yeah, we could mention that.
But yeah, the Premier League, not disappointing yet again.
Really isn't.
It's the best league in England without... well, maybe not the Championship. Let's go on to the Championship. Then Brighton finally lost the game.
Yeah.
And was that because Jose Mourinho was watching on, supporting his old friend and...
he's destabilising everyone.
Yeah, old Karanka.
Was he spotting a new haircut, or was that the week before? He's got like a crew cut shit.
For the weekend.
A shame Japanese woman.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Great win for Middlesbrough. Great win for Middlesbrough away to Brighton.
They were fantastic. I saw that game and I was very impressed with them.
The Borough have purpose, I feel.
I know Brighton had a few players missing, but for Middlesbrough to go there to an undefeated team and they were got serious designs of winning that division and beating them so soundly.
Yeah.
And at the back, they were so solid. Solidity-wise, they were fantastic.
Well, they were very close last year, of course.
I think the thing with teams like Middlesbrough and teams like Derby as well that have consistently missed out for a bit, they just feel like, well, it'll be our time if they get promoted and then they get promoted and then they get promoted and then there'll be no one left to challenge us. And it does actually seem to work like that sometimes. They're just the best of what's left.
It is a great division, but the Premier League feels a bit like the Championship. This season, it's so unpredictable. You look at the Championship results, last season particularly was fairly bad. Like, you see like a team second or third at home on like a 10-game winning streak against a bottom of the league and they'll get beat like 3-0. How is that happening? And that's what the Premier League feels a bit like at the moment.
It does a bit, yeah. I did like Mourinho went into the away dressing room down at Brighton to congratulate the Middlesbrough players and he had a chat with Chris...
Don't jinx it! Yeah. Stay out of it!
He had a chat with Chris Hughton who said of meeting Mourinho, he certainly enjoyed the game and is very good friends with Aitor, hence the reason he was here. It was good for him to see me afterwards.
Do you reckon he walked in there going, oh, guess a job? Come on, I can do this easy.
Do you not think it's a good thing that Brighton lost that unbeaten run because they've been sort of drawing games and kind of trying to deceive a little bit. It was coming a bit of a
monkey off the back.
I think that's probably what Karanka would have said to his said to his players. He said, right, come on, look at this lot. Let's go down there, send a message.
Yeah.
Let's send a big old message.
Let's show them what they're really actually
Haven't the Middlesbrough team released a sexy calendar for Christmas the steelworkers, which is really nice thing to do.
They've released a calendar. Let's all decide individually if it's sexy or not.
Yeah. It's sexier than the steelworkers, I imagine. They did one. Good lord.
Oh, that sounds flipping delightful. We're going to be talking briefly about some European footballing. Well, of course, we have been, but on the continent, European footballing action after this. Watch out now. It's getting too hot to handle. The street's company, but fools
are ramble. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh, this isn't the last show before Christmas that we're doing, by the way, guys and girls. The preview show will be out on Christmas Eve, sponsored by Bet365, of course.
Yeah, preview in the Boxing Day games, of course.
Yeah, so of course.
Listen to that while you're tucking into your... Well, not while you're tucking into your turkey, that would be a bit rude, but at some point in the afternoon, when you have that lull on Christmas Day, perhaps, yeah, when the good film you want to watch hasn't started yet, you feel a bit dozy after your Christmas lunch, maybe listen to it then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or
right,
you can do it secretly if you've got one of those little Bluetooth speakers for Christmas.
Why would you do it secretly?
Why are you bringing technology into it again?
Why are you having your turkey? It's fine.
Yeah, why are you not, you Luddite?
Fair enough. We're literally on a podcast, Luke.
What are technology?
I got my tickets for Newcastle Everton on Boxing Day. Not on the telly. No, it is on the telly. It is on the telly, yes.
It is, 5:30.
That's genuine.
That's a guaranteed 1 point at least.
Then. I'm actually going to Arsenal Newcastle on the 2nd of Jan.
Second not on the telly. Gen.
No, it's not on telly. I'm actually going to that as well.
All right, cool.
Before you move on to European, I just wanted to make a little mention about Paul Clement, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go on.
He's obviously guided Derby into second place.
He has, yeah. Run.
Started quite... had a fairly difficult start.
Yeah.
But I would like to make some sort of like loosely based Nostradamus prediction about Paul Clement.
Don't do it.
Which, no, I want to. I've been thinking about it. I think because of the context...
Is this a proper one?
Yes.
Is this the next one?
No, it's up to you to
decide. Oh, is it or isn't it? No, it's not. It's literally up to you to predict.
It's true. But,
and then it happens or it doesn't.
Yeah. When I give you the prediction, I want you to know... I want us to
affirm it, and if we do...
I want to know if it's concrete enough and if it's focused enough to be an official
You want
prediction.
Our opinion for it to become...
Paul Clement will do well at Derby and he'll continue to do so. And I think with the contacts he's got on the game and the history he's got in coaching, at some point I think he's going to be picked for quite a big job in the Prem... you haven't let me finish.
That's the Clement canon.
And he's going to be bad at it and be fired fairly early on. That's far
too vague.
That's what... Footballs.
Yeah.
That's what I was checking with you, because if it's too vague, then fine.
Yeah,
I won't
which
make
big
it
club?
One.
All right, I tell you what. Mm-hmm. Have a think.
Okay, the club is going to go to.
That's all you needed to do.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
No, because I like the sound of this.
Okay.
Do the numbers and come back next week.
All right. I'm going to do one. Can I do one?
As well.
Sanchez, yeah. Manager, going to be the next big managerial hot guy
who?
On campus.
Sanchez Flores.
Yeah.
He's managed Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but he's in the... He's going to be the next big Pep Guardiola, big European manager.
Do you think?
Not as big as Pep.
Where's he going to go next, then?
I don't know.
Oh, it's all right for him to be vague.
Yeah.
I think he's spoofing you.
I'm this side of the desk. I'm all pressing right. The buttons.
I've got one for you, then. On the base.
But hang on, what is
Kike
happening
Sanchez
here?
Flores, Kike Sanchez-Flores and Paul Clement are going to star in an 80s-style body swap comedy at some point between now and 2025.
Okay,
we'll fine.
Jim?
Over the weekend, there will be a number of throw-ins in some games.
Good.
Wrong. Solid. Good. Safe.
Wrong. All right. Well, now I said that we were going to go to the continent. Yes, we are. After a little mensch for the Scottish Premiership, we haven't mentioned it for a while.
Yeah, I noticed that the Hearts were beaten by the Dons last week, and you didn't mention that.
That was last week.
Yeah.
Was so long ago. They had a good point away to St Johnson, having been put down to 10. Put down to 10.
That was really dark.
Dear me.
Taking a long, lonely walk to the Met.
Your beloved Gorgie boys also play Celtic next week.
They might do.
Mm. They do.
Well, Celtic just got beat 2-1 at home by the Well.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Motherwell are here. But Aberdeen, they gained ground on Celtic after the Dandies won. So
The Dandies beat Kilmarnock 4-0 away.
I tell you they're only 1 point off Celtic. Okay, Celtic have a game in hand.
But they play each other in February.
Absolutely.
And that was Derek McInnes' 100th game in charge of Aberdeen as well. 4-0 win away. What a way to celebrate.
I tell you what, McInnes is doing a great job there. All the leagues around Europe, apart from League 1, all the top leagues, are pretty spicy.
They are. Mm.
Although Atletico Madrid missed their chance. Let's move on to one of those spicy ones, Serie A. I quite like this. Former Middlesbrough and Italy forward Massimo Maccaroni. You remember him, Baldy? Mm. Still bald.
I remember
still
him.
Playing.
Did he score the first competitive goal at the new Wembley for Italy under 21s?
He did score a goal for Italy under 21s against England under 21s, but it wasn't that.
Okay.
I don't think
Didn't he absolutely...
It was a great goal.
That was in Italy, I think. Sorry? Okay.
When Middlesbrough came close to winning the UEFA.
They got to the final. Yeah, he scored. Right,
yeah. Yeah, he scored.
When they used to crash-bang wallop teams in the last sort of 10, 15 minutes, he would often get on the goal.
Yeah.
Basel.
I
think it was
Basel.
He
scored really late on. Possibly twice.
Yeah, he was pretty average other than that, wasn't it? It's a weird thing.
He's 36.
Suddenly, like, he also, Superman.
He also cost a lot of money.
Mm. He's 36. I still think that he's going to come good.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those players.
I'm like Shola Ramiobi. Mm. He's a prospect. Pete, Macaroni's one of your notable legs as well.
Yeah, okay, I'll put it on the list. I'll put it in the egg box.
Update the spreadsheet.
He is 36. He scored a double for his side against Bologna on the weekend, which is quite impressive.
Mm.
And when celebrating his first goal of the match, he ran over to a supporter who handed him a pint, of which he took a swig from.
Good man.
Mm.
Can you do that?
Well, I did think this.
He cheersed. Somebody and then had a little sip.
Which English team had this in a pre-season friendly? Was it Bolton?
It happened.
You remember this a number of years ago
in the USA, wasn't it?
I believe so, Jim.
Yeah, I forget who it was though.
Yeah, because this was an Empoli away to Bologna. One of the kind of stuff. This was a pre-season, and he ran over and had a swig, and he got. Mm. Well, did he get a fine from it for the club?
I can't remember.
Because they're like, no, you can't drink on the job.
I just think if you're going to do it, just drink it all. Yeah, that's what Dave Grohl did once.
Damn it.
Well, you're playing for Empoli.
Very different profession.
Empoli.
One of the things that annoyed me about this was that you sent the link around to watch this, Marcus. I didn't actually see it. And I clicked on the video.
And it was two women. Marcus Speller. Swigging.
And I was like, Marcus, you know I don't like watching videos of women. And it was blocked by the official league... by an official Serie A appeal.
Oh, so we
own the rights to this man drinking a pint on the side.
Wow.
Come on, do me a favour. It's Christmas. I want to watch it.
You didn't ban it quick enough because I saw it.
I tell you, football's gone
this
too
happened.
Far.
And you turned off your screen and then you saw the reflection of a man drinking a pint.
And I blocked myself on medical grounds. But I tell you what now, image rights have gone too far. If one man can't watch another man drinking a pint at Christmas,
that's what football is founded on.
Yeah.
That is literally my image, right?
Yeah, that's what
I'm selling.
Roma, they finally got a win against Genoa 2-0, a vital win, as it was rumoured that if Roma lost, Rudy Garcia may have been given the boot. And there was talk that they offered the job to Mourinho, or they were going to. But when they scored the first one, it was good to see this. All the players ran over to him and embraced him. You see, there's none of that Chelsea player-manager divide there. Would have said.
No.
It's funny, when Mourinho was at Inter, or might have been just after he left, he said, I love Inter, but I hate Italian football. Oh, now you're sniffing around. Tables have turned. I love Rome, it's my favourite.
Did you see Edin Dzeko got sent off for telling the referee to F off?
Yeah.
It looked like he said that.
It did, and it was a really instantaneous sending off as well.
Yeah, because he probably didn't think the referee could understand English.
Yeah, and I understand that point, but can there be a human, a Westerner alive that doesn't understand what F off means?
It's great stuff. But yeah, it's Serie A. I mean, Inter are top at Christmas, but Juve, they've come back. They're only 3 points behind them, but 4 points separate first and fifth.
Bonucci scored a magnificent own goal towards the end
of that one.
Proper sort of karate kick by accident.
Former Ramble favourite, Felipe Melo.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fantastic karate kick. The opposite of Melo.
Felipe violent.
Yeah, that if you haven't seen that sending off Inter against Lazio, my goodness.
Golden bin again. He's going to get the golden bin again.
Another Street Fighter 2 reference. That was Chung Lee.
It was.
Sort of stuff, Jim.
Chung Lee. Yeah.
It was his foot. If it's the one I think I saw, it was his foot stuck to his face.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
His foot stayed up there way longer than the rest of his body.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. Quite impressive, really, if you think about it. If you think about it.
Latin-esque.
Big scores are back, Jim, in La Liga.
Yeah.
Real Madrid 10.
Good God.
Rayo Vallecano 2. Bale got a haul, Benzema got a hat-trick, and Ronaldo only got the double.
He'll be self-flagellating that night. Yeah.
How annoyed would he be?
Oh, very annoyed.
Genuinely, how annoyed would he be?
I was annoyed with Sky Sports for not being able to accommodate the 10 font in their score.
Oh, how did they do it?
They had to change the font to a smaller one to fit the two digits in.
Rubbish. Did the game the other day go to 100 minutes?
Not sure.
I think they're covered for that.
Didn't it? Yeah, a Premier League
covered for that, though, aren't they?
Oh, they are. But do you remember the first time it happened? Arsenal at home to Liverpool.
Again, manning the crowd to stand up with a zero.
If Sky Sports aren't providing the score thing, then whoever is providing it needs to have a look at themselves. Because as soon as the second player was sent off after about half an hour, they should have been making contingency plans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And can I just also say, while the first, because obviously, I don't know if people didn't see it, Rav Akana had two players sent off within half an hour.
Lively old first half.
Yeah.
They were winning.
They were 2-1 up.
2-1 up. Yeah.
At one point in that game, Vallecano were 2-1 up.
Yeah. And I think Real Madrid fans were booing.
Yeah. And then they went on to concede the next nine.
It's the, second time as well of late that Benzema scored a hat trick and not been the player that scored the most goals in the game.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
What I was going to say was the first sending off was definitely a red. It was a rash.
It was awful.
Two feet. But the second one, it's like the referee. I know this isn't in the laws of the game and it never will be, but the referee has seen a player who's also already on the booking and he's committed a fairly innocuous foul in the penalty area, which has been punished with a penalty, and then he's given him a second yellow and sent him down to nine men at Real Madrid. Yeah. They're already going to get battered.
Luke,
who wins here?
You always say it's if it's
last
in the rules.
Last week I said more yellows in the penalty area. It'll only happen once a week.
It'll only happen that one week, and then it'll stop.
Yeah. You know what? And Real Madrid put a marker down. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
When you don't respect it.
Gareth Bale put the ball on the top of his Christmas tree, which
did
I thought was nice.
Kicked it on. That's really impressive.
One of the goals. Was a fan, I forget which one it was, but it was a Bale header, and it was one of the crosses of the season.
That was 2-2, I think.
Danilo's cross was
fantastic.
3-2.
Genuinely, that 10-10 goal, I'm not watching that. I'm not watching all those goals. I can't be arsed.
That was an early one. At least there was a good one early.
I've got Chris's shopping to do.
Click on the highlights for the 6 minutes.
You know, see, after the game, the Rayo Vallecano manager said, like, this is terrible. It's not good for La Liga. It's not good for us. It's not good for Real Madrid. It's like,
they're pretty happy with it. Actually, to be fair, though, as it was said, you know, Real Madrid, they broke the kind of unwritten or unspoken rule of not hammering teams.
Yeah, I don't think you should be doing that.
No. Do you remember when Alex Ferguson's Manchester United beat Arsenal 8-2? Yeah. Ferguson was actually a little bit... embarrassed is too strong a word, but he was a little bit regretful that they'd scored 8. He said, once we'd scored a certain amount, we don't need to do that.
Forget that.
Yeah, I disagree with
that. And in Italy,
even having been on the end of that.
Yeah. Fine. Well, do you think it's
patronising?
No, I mean, I think it's fair enough.
Italy,
Jim remembers your 4-0 win at Newcastle at half-time.
Yeah,
I've seen that one turned out.
But, there is a culture in Italy, certainly, of not hammering teams like that. You seldom get big scores. I know Inter beat Sassuolo 9, or was it 8 or 9?
I mean, there's also a fairly well-established match-fixing tradition in as well, so,
you don't want to draw undue attention to yourself, do you?
That's why it's so historically low scoring.
Do you remember Iker Casillas? Well, it could be, but do you remember Iker Casillas told the ref not to add on any extra time when Spain were 4-0 up against Italy in the Euro 2012 final?
That's a nice gesture, but it's not against the rules.
We've already won this. Can we get on with it?
Yeah.
I want the trophy. And then when Rangers played the Hearts at Ibrox once, Hearts had 4 men sent off. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Well, that's one away from it being abandoned.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
But Hearts had 4 men sent off. This was a number of years ago in the 90s. And for 20 minutes, they played the game with only 7 men. And Rangers did score 1 goal. Old Coisty couldn't help himself.
I'm filling
my boots.
Yeah, but Coisty could
celebrate like a wild man.
Like, was it when Robbie Fowler missed that penalty on purpose and back at it rammed in the rebound?
I don't think he missed it on purpose. His keeper still saved it.
No, but he Fowler said to the referee, that wasn't a free kick, it's not a penalty. And the referee was given the penalty, and Fowler took a tame penalty, and the keeper easily saved it, but he could only parry it, and McAteer just steamed in like 100 miles an hour, roofed it.
If he really wanted to miss the penalty, he'd just stuck it over the bar, wouldn't he?
It's still funny, though.
It is still funny. So, yeah, a big score in Spain there. Shame Leti missed the chance to go top at Christmas, but there we are. But Barcelona, they were away in the World Club Cup. They beat River Plate 3-0. Easy peasy.
Yeah,
it's the big one.
They won the first game 3-0, didn't they?
That was in the semi, was it?
Yeah, Messi and Neymar were missing. Don't matter, 3-0. Suarez got a hat-trick.
He did.
Suarez
didn't score a hat-trick.
He did in the semi-final.
Apologies. Yeah. One of the things about, I don't follow as much South American club football as perhaps some, and I didn't realise Marcelo Gallardo was the manager of River Plate.
Oh, nice.
He's a really enjoyable attacking midfielder to watch in the 90s.
Yeah.
He's a member of, I think he was a member of the 98 World Cup squad for Argentina.
It would have been.
Very enjoyable player to watch.
South American players in the Barcelona team, so they looked incredibly motivated for that.
It's funny whenever Neymar plays against like an Argentinian team, because they just want to stick one on him, don't they? they kick the absolute Jesus out of him whenever they can.
It wasn't on telly in England anyway, was it?
Was it not? I watched the highlights online.
Mm. Dani Alves, though, equaled Pele as the Brazilian with the most official trophies won in football.
That's astounding.
29.
Is that more than Ryan Giggs? Because Ryan Giggs got the European player record.
He took it from
a little bit of pub trivia for you.
I know the answer to this.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give it to the listeners.
Absolutely.
Then go to the pub over Christmas.
Yeah.
The player that Ryan Giggs took the record for the most
great pub trivia.
Is,
God.
All right. Ryan Giggs, I'll do it another way.
Yeah.
Ryan Giggs has the record for the most trophies won by a European club player.
Is that still?
Who did he steal it from? The answer is... Well, he didn't steal it. He took it.
Yeah.
He took it from Vitor Baia, the famous goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah. Portuguese.
There you go.
Portuguese.
In my mind, that would have gone smoother, but that's fine. It's another jingle. Thanks.
There you go.
And now it's time for Highlights of the Week with Luke Aaron Moore.
Jingle.
Let's have a jingy.
That's the same one. It's sort of half of the same one.
Should we do it again? Have you got another one ready? Hang on, wait for it.
Hi, this is my friend Daphne, and I'm Celeste.
Oh, dear. You're just playing songs.
It's your highlights. I'll fill in the gaps myself. Yeah, don't worry about
you.
It. Yeah. What have we got here? Sean Howe emailed in. I sort of take an email. I normally take it on Facebook, but I took an email this time. Sean Howe, he says, the highlight of the week for me was Mourinho ending Brighton's unbeaten record with his mere presence. Yeah. Good effort.
With his Christmas presents.
Did we talk a bit about the bed sheets at...
Jim touched on it,
Stamford Bridge. Well, the reason I'm saying that, Jim, not to go back over old grounds, because a lot of people got in touch saying they very much enjoyed the terrible signs at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can mention that if you want. He met the girl who did it on the bedsheet put Hazard, but the way she spelt it and the angle the sheet was at on the camera looked like Izzard, like Eddie Izzard. Two Zs in it.
Yeah. Against his mayoral run?
Yeah, why was she complaining about Eddie Izzard? What else we've got? James Wells says, as a Sunderland fan, I'm still reeling from the giant stitch up from the football gods. We would have beaten Chelsea, Mourinho was still in charge.
Indeed.
What else have we got here? Duncan Copeland says, being so bemused by the new polished media trained pards that I had to Google Pellegrini's shut your noise incident. And then I spent a glorious drive home from remembering the good old days. Yeah. Hashtag travel.
Actually, one of the highlights of the week was definitely Lee Chong-yung's goal for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, beauty.
Whoa.
What did Pardew say about that? That would have woken up the whole of Asia.
Yeah.
Didn't he say?
I mean, it depends on the time zone.
Does he think Asia's got about 20 people in it?
Yeah. And it's only one time zone.
It's a big old continent, to be honest.
It's the biggest one, some may say. Yeah. Some may say, Jim, have you got a highlight? You look like you do.
No, what I do have is a website roundup.
Oh, before we do that, Matt, we haven't.
Go on. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
It's obviously not a highlight in the. Turn me back
on. Is that
on.
A jingle or a mistake?
Leave that to the end.
I know what you're going to say, and I endorse this.
Thank you very much. It's a sad point, but it's still, highlights don't have to be positive. They're standout moments, of course. It's obviously remembering the life of Jimmy Hill.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
And what he did for the game of football. I mean, he divided opinion a lot with his own opinions, but a life less ordinary.
These days, lots of people use the word, or the term, proper football man for people like Tim Sherwood, and it basically has become a sort of by phrase for doesn't really like computers and hates stats and tactics.
Or is someone who's a little bit of, a bit sexist and has been done by that. No, he's a proper football man.
But it should be used about the late, great Jimmy Hill, who was the father of so many innovations in the modern game would just not be the same without him. And I would wonder how many players playing now know how much they owe to that man.
Spot on.
And he deserves the warmest of tributes.
Yep. He did so many things for football in so many different facets of it. It's pretty rare that anybody has that much, that wide an influence.
I think he was a staunch defender and of footballers' rights. And I think more than anything
else...
Well,
it had to be done, by the way.
Yeah, he was probably a businessman first before he was even a football player.
Probably entertainer
first. Someone also said a very interesting point I felt, which was underplayed in the media, which was Jimmy Hill was a great ideas man, and lots of people think they're great ideas man, but he actually was. But not only that, it's fine to have ideas, but he was a man who was very, very adept at pushing them through to fruition, seeing them,
it was incredibly loquacious when it came to actually explaining why this would benefit the game, almost to his detriment. I mean, flipping tour of apartheid in South Africa and stuff like that. You know, he's a very complex man who backed players before he would back anything else.
One of the great stories I heard about him, which is perhaps particularly highlights his mischievous style, was that someone, a journalist, whoever it was, I think it might have been someone on Five Live, older journalist, saying that back in the day he went to see, I think it was a game at Coventry. Jimmy Hill was obviously there, and he said Jimmy Hill called him into his office before the game and said, "Come and look at this." And he showed him, and it was a load of kits with the first ever sponsors logo on it.
Oh, yeah.
And the journalist was like, "The FA are going to go mad." And Hill was like, "Yeah, it's good, isn't it?" Can't wait to implement this.
I love that clip.
And he did it.
And now
it's de rigueur.
Of course, yeah. I love that clip of him on Fantasy Football with Badil and Skinner when he's explaining how he likes to have more of a passing philosophy and play attractive football.
Oh, yeah.
And they stitch him up beautifully with that. And they reel him in. And he's going, you like to play expansive football, all this kind of stuff. And they went, okay, we're just going to play this clip of you giving a team talk. And there is a team talker with a tactics board. And one of the guys says, he's talking about the centre-backs, and he's going, So the centre-back gets it, play it all the way up top to the front man, and he goes, well, what about playing it through the midfield? He goes, no, I'm not worried about that. As long as the, he goes, as long as the ball clears everybody in the centre and goes all the way up front, man. It's such a great... Have a look at that on YouTube. It's such a lovely one.
It's excellent, I agree.
It is. Jim, let's have a website roundup.
I do have a website
from
roundup.
From one Jim to another.
From the always excellent Kelly Wells. And this week, Kelly uses the Weekend Highlights post to submit her application to proper football journalism via the Ramble website. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no need for it, Kelly. What are you doing?
Boring.
Cesc Fabregas manages to maintain a stiff upper lip while being flayed alive by Thierry Henry. Or does he? I mean, I don't know if anyone's seen that. It is the most awkward thing in the world. It's this interview for a Sky thing. No, a Facebook thing, I think, where it's Henry and Fabregas. And Henry just tearing the Chelsea players to pieces while Fabregas is sat there. Very, very awkward.
Yeah, richly deserved.
Yeah, understandably, but just... Javier Zanetti's questionable ball handling is examined, and the first four episodes of the 12 Rambles of Christmas sidle onto the site. Now, yeah, we're putting up some old rambles, some favourites from down the years. They're on the website every day, so check them out, and they'll continue to appear over the festive period, which, given Kelly's time management, is a Christmas miracle in itself. So that's Kelly at Kelly_Wells for the always excellent Kelly Wells on Twitter.
Can I chuck in a highlight of the week?
Yes.
And it's a fresh highlight of the week.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a highlight of the week that, had I not seen it, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
This afternoon, I was at work.
Mm. Wow.
Not going to tell you where I was working.
No.
Yeah, wow, I know.
It was underground, though,
and,
I presume.
And a cleaner is about to walk through a doorway. But there's a man on the other side. He opens the door. It's Jamie Carragher, the footballer.
Ah. Yeah.
He lets the cleaner through, doing
tackles
a nice thing. He lets the cleaner through, doing a nice thing. And she proceeds by whacking him in the face with a Hoover.
Oh, excellent. Oh.
So...
what did he do?
Shook it off, eyeballed me as if I'd so I was going to tell anyone, and I am going to tell everyone.
Hundreds of thousands of people are going to tell.
Don't tell anyone about that, he said with his eyes.
I wonder where on earth you were working.
Yeah. I wonder
where you were going with it, but I'm pleased it ended as it did.
Hoover in the face.
Yeah.
You had to just suck it up.
The thing about looking at Jamie Carragher is I always think it's Robert Lee at first.
That was a great game.
I will happily talk over most of your output, Marcus, because to be quite frank,
great joke.
Go on, say it.
Great jokes. You're not existing in a vacuum.
What did he say?
Oh, very good, Luke. You
you're missing them all.
All
right, fine.
Yeah. Oh, just all I'm asking.
Just end the bloody show.
Empty your bag and have done with it, right?
Just listen and learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget the preview show sponsored by. I'm doing the plugs, man.
All right.
Pipe down. The preview show will be out Christmas Eve, as we've already said. The main ramble will be back on the 29th of December, so don't you worry, there is another one before the end of the year. And don't forget the Christmas special, which you can download on iTunes or PayPal.
I mean, we've practically plugged it so much
that we've
told everyone exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But it's £2.49 on iTunes and footballramble.com. It's a lot of fun, and you will do worse in terms of buying things this Christmas than that.
Not much.
No. Probably.
It's like a Football Ramble Secret Santa.
It is. That's a great way of describing it.
Secret banter?
Secret banter.
Yeah, there we are. If you want to get in touch, you know all the others.
Yeah.
Emails and Twitters and all that kind of stuff.
At Football Ramble. At footballramble.com are the main ones.
There you are. You see, and go to the website, thefootballramble.com, as Jim has already said. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye from me. It's a Leicester Fiesta.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.